Okay, so if you would just remember a couple of things when you'd like to speak, just press star 6 on your phone, and you will be instantly live. There will be no filter or who was first or who was second. So try to be a little careful about stepping on each other, as I'm sure you will. And then when you're done and you've made any comments that you wanted to or comments about what some of your other group members have stated, then put yourself back on at star 6, and that will, again, mute you and keeps us from having any background noise. So we are ready and able for our first question, answer, or discussion.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Good evening to all. Matteo from Toronto. I decided to be first today because my question was related to my piece of watermelon is related to releasing vibration that are not aligned with me. I've noticed a rigidity in the body in certain situations. I notice the body get rigid. Somebody says something, it triggers. So my understanding of releasing this vibration is let them go and bring down energy from the 14th chakra to replenish myself. The question I have is, what is the difference between me being triggered and body become rigid? And if there is some, and the other side, if there is somebody that lying or is deceived person, not nice person, my body also react to that vibration, and I have a little, I don't mean a confusion, but the body also reacts, so that's the internal guidance system, so the body reacts to somebody that's lying. So I don't know how to make the difference, because this week I have to do experiences. Somebody and a body get, I see that in my English, my body get rigid, and somebody over outside of me was lying, and I felt my heart saying, be careful, Mata. So I would like to know, I would like to have a more clarity of what is the releasing and what is the internal guidance, because for me they are now the same. I would like to be more masterful in recognizing when is the releasing and when is the my heart telling me be careful. I hope I was clear enough. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
Would somebody like to comment on what Mateo has just, maybe they've experienced something similar?
Well, this is Beth. What
hi, Beth.
I think, yeah, hi. Well, Mateo, I just think you're experiencing what we see everywhere. I mean, right now, I've never seen so much negativity and people being triggered and reactions and them versus us in the world. It's really quite interesting that it's coming to the surface. And I think for sensitive people, like all of us, we can get triggered. But what I have noticed is because of all the tools that we've gained over these years, I'm somehow in a position of detachment. But, you know, I'm not on the front lines all the time, so that may not be a good example. But I just think it's a question of watching it, observing it, and if you're... You're finding something within you that's telling you be careful. That's good. It just means that you're in communication. I think we all get this from time to time. It says, okay, I hear it. The trigger is there. Don't go there. So that's what I've been experiencing.
Thank you.
That's great. Great, Mateo. What do you think about that?
Next time I'm going to write out the question. I like the answer, but mine was trying to understand the distinction between me, when the body gets rigid based on disalignment, so somebody says something to me and I have a triggering, so I recognize it more clearly now. There's a sensation in the body that gets rigid, like a rigidity that they were explaining last week. And that's when it's me, and I stop, I release it, like, okay, I let this emotion to go, I release it, and I bring energy from my 14th chakra and replenish it. That's the first situation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I am confused when the rigidity comes to the body, or I don't know if it's my rigidity, when my body is telling me, be careful. Somebody out there has a smile in their face, but is lying, and if you go there, it's going to be dangerous for you. So that there are two types of situations I'm becoming aware of, but I'm not masterful yet, because this rigidity just came to me now as an awareness I was aware of before. Now I believe because I'm more in present time, I can feel the body become rigid. And that's pretty clear. But I don't know the difference between when the body becomes rigid because I have an issue, you know, I don't have issue, but in this case to explain the word, when I have an issue and when his body is telling me, be careful and become rigid because something outside of yourself is going to be not good if you keep going that way. It makes sense? I don't know if every awareness.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, please.
This is Jody.
Hi, Jody.
I've been experiencing something similar, and what I've understood to do, and I get into, I get very taken in by understanding what is truth and what is not. And
correct.
I've been spending a lot of time alone, and I'll go on the lake. I'll be by myself. It's outside of a lot of the Wi-Fi and a lot of the wireless activity. So I have a very calm feeling. It's different. So I can actually sense what is mine. And there are times that I will just be triggered by something. There's nobody around me. There's nothing in front of me. It's just a wave of energy that comes in. And so I did some meditating, and I would stop, and I have to ask myself, what do I need to do? I have to dialogue with my own self as the observer and as the master or the student or whatever. I will dialogue with myself. I say, what is this? And what I came to understand for me is that the necessity of me, as I'm talking to myself, to find the real answers in me, I need to make sure I am in my collective, in that bubble. The Syrians have been helping me to stay in the bubble. Kasumi's been helping me to stay in the bubble that we created on the Talamina Ridge when we were in Arkansas. Because for me, I'm very sensitive, and I'm picking up, whether it's the black hats that are sending through the frequencies out there, mind wiping technology, whatever it is, it affects me. I have a hard time keeping memory of where I am, who I am, what I'm doing, my spiritual quest. You know, I mean, it's very unnerving, actually, lately for me. And so as often as I can remember, and I remembered then, Kasumi came in and helped me remember, it's like you were given the year before a cloaking device from the 12th dimensional fire dragon in the conference when we were all together, and I'm having to learn how to use it. I don't have any idea how to use it yet, but I've been instructed to learn how to use it. The only way I know to converse with myself is to be in this bubble of collective consciousness, because it filters out everything around me. And I don't sometimes know, because I go into meditation and I'll find myself somewhere totally different in a conversation that I have no idea why I'm in that conversation, but it's like something pulls me out of me. Anyway, that's my experiences lately. And how I feel it in the body is it's very, like you say, Mateo, rigid. It's like I tense up. And when I'm watching TV, I have to be careful too, because it's like there's frequencies out there that are drawing me out of me.
Exactly.
And and I will feel that in my body. And I just, it's just the awareness. I have to keep coming back. I keep doing it over and over again. And eventually I'll become more masterful in it. It's like the triads, you know, and it's different. It's all very different. But I think as we're doing it, we need, you know. Anyway. But
can I make a distinction with the TV? And after I don't, I'm sitting in front of the TV. There is something happening on TV. The movie, I watch the movie and I'm being triggered. The body got rigid. Very good, I say. There is something in me, I can release it right away. It's very important right now to release, to move to the fifth. So there is something that trigger is my issue and I release it. But if in the TV there is a professor of neurology, like today in Toronto Star, there was that 40% of happiness is we can decide it. The other 50% is genetic. So this information is out there. How does my body find out that that information is there, that everybody believes is true? I feel that the information is not true. The same mechanism, and that's where I'm confused, the body gets rigid. It's not the rigidity is not the same when I am triggered, that's my issue, but it looks similar. So I'm sometimes confused that maybe it's me again that I have an issue. And maybe, you know, that is just the truth. So, you know, that information from the professor I know is a lie, but my body gets rigid because it's telling me, be careful. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So I want to become masterful to recognize. Okay, somebody example on the TV is great. Thank you very much. It gave me a tool to explain myself very well. Yeah, I would like to be masterful in recognizing what is mine and how the body reacts to the lie or the truth. Because I'm becoming, I didn't have this skill before, and I'm starting to become masterful, but I would like to be 100%. Okay. So thank you very much. I would like other bad people to express themselves, and thank you for Jody. It was wonderful. You gave me insight. Thanks.
Good. This is Sharka. I would like to share something on that subject too. I don't know if it's an answer exactly to your question, to your quest, but I was dealing with a similar thing these last 2 weeks, or maybe a little bit more, that I have noticed how tense my body is. And so I just purposefully focused on relaxing my body without trying to figure out, like you are trying to figure out, where it came from. I was just relaxed, started to relax the body. And then what followed was that I started to discover what was tensing me. And I discovered a few things about, you know, my ego, which I was not aware of, where I had that anomaly of my ego. And I did share it on the internet a little bit. That main discovery was about that I really was very concerned about me proving myself that I can be like everyone else, that I can be without that rational mind, which I did show up, you know, in a few of maybe a lot of my questions before, and I was always ashamed of it. And so I want to say the process was opposite, that by relaxing my body, I started to discover what was tensing my body. And then I responded to it like that. I created my kind of a triangle or kind of affirmation. I am that I am, and I know what I know. And then when it comes to the other, if I am the earth, it's just I am. You know,
I'm losing. Hello?
And that's what really helped me the most. And I started to observe my body healing. And most healing in this case, what I have observed was that I'm over a year, I'm healing the skin cancer on my face without surgery. I don't want another surgery, I'm healing it. And it's healing, but very, very slow. But after this discovery with my ego and with kind of accepting myself the way I am,
and trusting myself that I know, I noticed that the healing started to speed up quite obviously. So that's what I wanted to share. I don't want to take too much time.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. There's different aspects, so thank you for
this
explanation.
Hello, this is Randy Westmoreland. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Hello, Randy. Maybe John has to say hi.
Shalati wanted to say something.
Oh, okay.
I see Lawton.
And then Randy.
Back to Mateo.
How are you?
You are starting to discern, say you're trying to discern light blue from dark blue. They come up the same, but you start to discern which one is which, and you can set those programs with your body, an agreement that says this is from what is coming from outside of me. This one will show up when it's from inside me.
Exactly.
You can set those up, and then the more you use them or the more they're used, they will become very, very, I called it me, myself, and I, would have this conversation based on what was I feeling from outside of me, what was mine, what was someone else's. Then I can feel the flow, whether it's coming from outside, kind of that pushing like you would expand the balloon to the pushing against the balloon. So I can feel the direction, and that helps me to discern, is it something of mine or is it something?
May I ask you to make an example when is your body get rigid because you have a vibration that you need to heal, or when your body is telling you, be careful, there is somebody that's lying to you. And so,
where in your body do you become, it becomes very, like I said, it's like saying it's blue and blue. So, okay, you're becoming rigid. Are you rigid through your solar plexus? Are you feeling rigidness in your shoulders? Where does the rigidness show up, and does it show up in the same spot for each kind of thing?
Yeah.
For example, for me, if there's going to be wind in a storm, I'm going to feel a tingling that would be in your right around your crown, kind of where your part in your hair would be. And every time that is, when the storm comes, it has major wind in it. But I track that after, you know, doing it once, doing it twice, and you become more masterful when you can say, okay, that's that. That, you know, that's where my body shows that. It's like some people have goosebumps when the truth is told. They have a repetitive, but you can make these agreements with your body before that this is the reaction I'm going to look for. Express it to me this way so that you can get that fine difference.
Are you talking about like a pendulum where you actually are programming it? So show me yes. And then feeling
what you can even do that if you want to work with a pendulum, you know. Yes, that's one way some people become aware of yes and no kind of things. But if you want to say, is it from me or from not, set up where in your body you want to get which answer from so that it's more decisive for you. Rigid is just a general reaction. You want to know what rigid means here or there, and you're the one who puts the denotation on it so that your body shows you that from there.
That's what I was going to suggest.
Great.
Exactly. Is that we will become the observer and the creator. So,
well, you're the observer and the analyzer.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
because
and
me
the
being
director,
as sensitive as I was, it's like, how can you stand in a crowd and say, okay, that energy's coming? How can you sit in our collective and I can feel Mateo's energy, I can feel Sandy's energy, I can feel, you know, each of your energies? Can you discern that? And then you, being such a sensitive that I've been my whole life, I had to figure out what was coming from me, what was coming from outside, and when I got a ding on my radar, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
They laugh at me when I drive because I'll get a ding on my radar and I'll see there's an animal over there because it comes up in a certain sensation when it's an animal crossing my field when I'm driving. But you train yourself.
I was going to say, yeah, it sounds like you do. You're obviously a tremendous observer, and just over a period of time, you've figured out, you know, what sense or what part of your body, you know, tells you whatever it's going to be, and that's just terrific.
Well, I think the other part of that is, for me, it's trusting myself that my body is very accurate when I have a sensation about something that I need to be
And we had to prove that to ourselves at one point.
Yes, yes. And it
by testing
noticing.
It.
Right, testing it, noticing it, and then discerning, is it really an emotional upset or is this really my body telling me something? And
well,
I think that
and is it coming in as an emotional
exactly. So the ball sorry, you get excited. Sorry, Charlotte.
That's good.
You know,
don't ever give that up.
Is it coming in as an emotional communication or is it coming in as data?
Yes.
There's two sets of data.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Emotional communication
and I want to put a third type of data. So, and I'm going to share this, what happened. So I was walking down the street in a festival. My girlfriend or ex-girlfriend told me, I'm not going to see you tomorrow. I'm not going to see you next week. I have only three hours in the agenda. When people done that, I got very upset. But I didn't know that. But now I became aware. I was walking and my body got rigid. They said, what's going on? I mean, she's the way it is. And I saw, and I felt the rigidity, so is me. Even if she's not available, I should react. Okay, it doesn't matter. So the body got rigid, and I released that. I went to for an opportunity or job, and there is this amazing, powerful lady that she's a coach. And she, when I went to the workshop, I was looking for a job. I sat down with her, and immediately I felt that there was something not right. And the body got rigid, but it wasn't the same rigidity like John said. It wasn't an emotion, even if sometimes it happened. It was an internal sense of guidance. And the body got rigid. In my case, I told myself, I have the problem, you know, because I got rigid. So, and in that case, when I went home Monday, I did some research. And, you know, likely enough, this lady is connected to the course of the Martini from the United States, this gentleman, and is connected to the Satanism. So in that case, that's why I got kind of concerned, because I said, you know, you need to become more masterful because you can make these mistakes. You know, the body told you or something inside of that told you, be careful. But you got in doubts because they say, I have a problem because the body got rigid, so you need to release. Make sense now? A little bit more?
Yeah.
So I want to become master because I can make these mistakes. I knew that lady was didn't have an integrity, but I doubted myself, and John said, right, I have to trust myself because I doubted because they say, I have the rigidity. I need to release it. That's where I'm coming from. Thank you. Yeah. So I believe it's about trusting. Trust that
you
know
trust
when
yourself.
It's rigidity about you or when it's rigidity because it's telling you, rigidity in this case, that something is wrong. So it's about trusting that I know that I know. Okay. Thank you, John.
I know for me it's as simple as if someone's trying to make an appointment with me, I can feel whether or not that's going to fly or more likely going to cancel. If I do that, even in my book, I'll put a little question mark behind it, which tells me that I questioned it in the first place. And 95% of the time, I'm always correct. It's going to fall. I don't know what's going to cause it to fall, but I can already sense it's not flying. And so I just put a little question mark around it, and then when it comes to that day and it doesn't, you know, falls off the cliff, it's no surprise to me.
So
wonderful. Thank you, everybody.
Reading it coming in.
Okay. Randy, you had something to say?
Thanks. I
I think you guys said it all. I was just going to say to Mateo.
Oh, come on. We couldn't have.
I was just going to say to Mateo that it's, you know, what we're learning every day as we walk is how to be masterful. And it sounds to me like, Mateo, that you already know. From what I'm hearing you describe, you know, you can discern. You just have to get out of your head and trust. And so everybody said what I was going to say.
That's
great,
Randy.
Yeah.
Well, does anybody else? Does
anybody have any?
Mark, I'd
like to take a little. Pat?
Oh. Yes.
Oops, sorry. Go ahead.
Is it okay? This is Pat.
Yeah.
Hi. I just really would like to underscore what everyone is saying about the body and various triggers that come up. For me, my body never lies to me. It always tells me the truth. And all sorts of things are held in the body, from traumas we may have, whether they're large traumas, small traumas. And our body responds to, as Charlotta was saying, the energy around us. And like Charlotta, although I don't know that I do it as well as she does, but I'm really trying to discern energy. I've always felt it ever since I was a child. But now if I just kind of take my ego, my rational mind, and kind of sort of shelve it for a while and not listen to it and listen to my body and feel that energy, I know whether there are issues, things, people around me that I need to pay attention to. When the ego comes back in and I question that, then I again ask the ego to step out of the way. And if I feel like I'm stuck and I just can't figure it out, then I call in the divine ones, and they are there right away. And I say, help me understand this. And then we join together as a team to kind of refine the lessons of me understanding energy, which is kind of a response to the second question that Metatron gave us. The first one being, what have we noticed in terms of changes with our emotional, mental, emotional bodies? And I've noticed an increase in, sounds like, are you all hearing me?
Oh, very well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I couldn't hear anything, and I thought maybe I couldn't hear my voice. In any way, I've noticed an increase in clairvoyance. I've noticed a big increase in dreams, in lucid dreaming. I am really working, although I am certainly not successful 24/7, but I'm trying to continually be aware of my thoughts, what comes out of my mouth, to have full integrity and to be in my truth. And sometimes I do pretty good, and sometimes I really fall off the cliff with it, but I just try and dust myself off and get back up. But again, my body is affected by a lot of this because I think that I've not been giving myself enough time to rest, because I'm just feeling very fatigued a lot, but pretty happy and hopeful.
Yes.
So I don't know if that helps or it doesn't help, but if I feel my solar plexus lighting up, I just immediately stop, put my hand there, pay attention, and open up that seventh chakra there to get some kind of answers and I can figure out. And usually it's something that someone has perhaps said to me and it's triggered something in terms of my perception, my experience, and then I'm able to do the release with that afterwards. So I hope that makes sense, and I just am so happy that everybody is talking together and we're all connecting beautifully. I just love you all.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I love you too.
All in favor. We love everybody.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
Hi, this is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Pat,
hi, Mark.
This conversation sounds a bit like what we had last evening about this time.
Well, you inspired it, Mark.
I don't know about that. I just wanted to share that what my body has been telling me is to slow down, relax, take it easy. And part of what happened to me around the eclipse was that I simply had to go and take the entire day before the eclipse and do virtually nothing. The day of the eclipse, I had to go and be extremely quiet and just, I didn't go outdoors, I didn't do anything. I just was very much to myself. Now, this is something different for me, so this is quite an interesting transformation, and I'm enjoying it immensely. I now have the occasion to just go and sit down and not do anything, not think any particular thoughts about myself.
Why do you think you did that? I'm just curious, Mark. Why? What triggered you to go do that? And what do you think? What do you think happened because of that quiet time? Oops, I think Mark hung up on me. He hung up on me, honey. Well, that's right. He'll come back.
Hello? Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Joanne. And
Hello, Joanne.
Hi. I'd like to share just how I'd like to address both of these questions, and there are a few distinctions. Well, I'm hearing two things. One is triggers, and then body, and then awareness around that. And one of the things I'd like to kind of introduce, the way that keeps me kind of aligned, is to remember that we are a collective consciousness, even though we are individuals, that if I try to discern what's other or mine, then I get into kind of a bit of a tailspin around that. So the way I play with that is that if I'm triggered, it's automatically mine at that moment because it's the sensation that's in my body. And that other person's job is done. Now it's my job to actually be present with whatever that trigger was. And so with the work that this has progressed over many years and with the work to address the questions of tonight that we've been doing is that if I'm triggered or I feel a sensation in my body, for me that's the invitation to become the alignment of the undifferentiated light from 13th dimension all the way through. I just become that still presence and create a playground or a space for that information to reveal itself to me. But not from, like, sometimes it just is that, oh, you know, you've kind of left yourself here, or this situation doesn't resonate, so walk away. Or it could be what I'm really noticing now is that if there is a combination of emotion and mental dialogue, that there is an intensity in my body at this point where it's almost as if cellular memories from eons ago are being released. And that earthquaking kind of release is possible through my presence, through that alignment. It's kind of, there's a space for it to be loved free, almost like a child coming to, and it isn't, stories can run and so on, but I feel like this is connected to the healing of the mental emotional body, that both emotion and mental are coming up simultaneously, creating these
exactly yes
in the body is the key, and we don't have to do anything with it. We simply become, and this is where our mastery comes in. We get to practice that alignment. And to me, it doesn't matter where it came from or who did it or whatever, because it's all me in that moment. And my mastery comes from being present with what is arising in my field. And so the body becomes this wonderful GPS system, and yet it's also not separate from. So we get the inkling is there, and then I create the space for whatever needs to arise to arise. And I find that is so useful for me, whether it's something that needs to release, because then I'm not grabbing onto it trying to understand it. I'm just simply present with it, and it releases on its own, or whether or not it's information that I need to take action from, because then that is revealed as well. So I just want to share that, and I must say that it can be very intense. So be gentle and loving in this process. Well, that's
thank
my share. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We had a lady from Oregon on here, and we lost her. I don't know where she went. Maybe she'll call back.
If I may add to Joanne, the second part of... No, please, sorry. Go on.
Oh, no, we were just waiting for someone else. Go ahead.
No, Joanne said precisely she has a ability to explain, and many others than me, but more words, refined words. The second part of the question that I wanted to share was about there is this, and I was talking to another friend last week, is there is no... The emotion is expanded. I cannot. It's like there is one emotion that is so huge. There is no definition to the emotion. If I want to push the emotion, I can feel it and create a separation and take the piece of the emotion and put happy, certain. But if I don't do that, it's like a feeling of one entire emotion. There is no like emotion, it's only one. That's how I experience that. So that's my way to answer the second question. So I put my, yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you, yeah. Now we have somebody
Kelly.
Kelly from Oregon.
Well, hi there, folks.
Well, hi there, folks.
So I had some technical difficulties. Hello? Thanks for your patience.
Kelly's on, no problem.
And I really appreciated hearing everybody sharing. It's amazing. I've been kind of having my own little response and reaction to the entire conversation. And it became very clear to me, I would like to share it in a way that makes sense to me, how I can make sense of what Mateo had shared and how I can make sense of the responses from Joanne. I really resonated with Joanne said. I really resonated with what Charlotte said. I really resonated with what Pat said. And this is how it makes sense to me. I think of myself like a salmon who's first time going out from the mountain back to the ocean. And the first time I go through that river, it's new to me. But I'm not alone. I'm with a school of fish because that's the way they operate. Mm-hmm. And when I'm in the river, I can feel the river, but I'm not super aware yet of all the obstacles that I might come across on my way to the ocean. Mm-hmm. And as I'm going down the river, there's going to be rocks, there's going to be trees, there's going to be fishermen, there's going to be all kinds of things that are going to try to catch me. And some are not going to try to catch me. Some are just there. They're just doing what they do. They're not trying to cause me problems, but if I don't notice it, it will cause me a problem. And so in learning how to be a salmon for the first time going down the river, I have to be aware of myself and of my surroundings. And I'm in the water, which I can also feel. And in me being a spiritual being, I'm in a spiritual soup, if you will. And as I go through life, I can feel my surroundings as long as I am in my body as I go through the motions of living. Same as this fish. If for a moment when I'm a salmon, I stop being a salmon, I'm going to run into that rock ahead of me and not trust, as I heard somebody else say, my own feeling of the water change. The water pressure changes as you approach a rock in the water. The current changes. The temperature might change. There's so much happening around me, and as I'm going down the river, I have to learn to read that and to feel that, and the only way I can do that is to trust myself. But remember, I'm with a school of fish, so not only do I trust myself and what I'm feeling and noticing, I might also trust the fish around me, because they will also be noticing the things that I'm noticing, but in their own way. So I don't really think of, I heard Mateo say something earlier about something was black and white. And I don't like to look at it as black and white, or as whether it belongs to me or belongs to somebody else, even though that may all be valid. I like what Joanne said, where if I'm feeling it, if I'm experiencing it, it is now mine, and what do I do with it? Well, if I'm feeling a rock coming on me, I might want to consider getting out of its way. Then I think about when that salmon, as I've already been to the ocean, I've spent years to the ocean. Now I'm going to do my last journey for the first time. I'm going to go up the river back where I came from, but in the opposite direction. The currents are different. They're going to be against me now. It's going to be a little harder, and I am going to be sicker because salmon come back to spawn and die.
Right.
So not only have I got to be aware of my own limitations, I got to be aware of my surroundings will look somewhat familiar but different. I don't know if this is helping anybody else, but this is the Mother Earth, and through the forest that I learned to love, teach me how to be in the world. And sometimes when we talk so spiritually about things, I have a hard time because I want to, how do I ground it into something I can feel and experience in my day-to-day life, because I am so much, and I am a physical being having a spiritual experience, but every day I get up and I put my pants on. I don't get up and put my light body on. Okay, so I didn't want to say that, but that's what came out, because I'm being taught to get up and put my light body on too, but my pants generally go on first.
Good.
So that's what I wanted to share.
Now, listen, Kelly, that was just absolutely sensational and so clear and concise. And, you know, you drew a beautiful picture, by the way. And, you know, I could see him swimming in the picture frame in the wall. But that's the kind of explanation that I think can help everybody understand what's going on. And it was beautifully done. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been a great discussion, folks. Thank you for all that contributed. I'd like to invite Metatron to come back in and finish up with this discussion.